Mentor Mondays, where resilient relationships can flourish through meaningful conversations. Hi, I'm Nancy. Today's guest mentor, Dr. Daniel Libby, and I met through the Veterans Yoga Project he founded in Alameda, California in 2014. The idea for the Veterans Yoga Project came to him in 2010, and thus the mission emerged, and the organization took on a nonprofit status in 2014. They are on a mission to support recovery and resilience among veterans, military families, and communities. My husband Matthew and I attended one of Dan's yoga classes in 2018. We were celebrating the launch of the Twin Cities Veterans Project here in Minnesota. Veterans Project Yoga Project is a nonprofit educational and advocacy organization dedicated to improving the health and well-being of military veterans. They work in partnership with veterans, active duty military personnel, student veterans, organizations, and other nonprofit entities. Trained instructors teach over 100 free yoga classes each week for veterans and their families across the country. By providing support to all veterans, whether they are currently struggling with severe symptoms or focused on increasing resilience and giving back to others, Veterans Yoga Project is doing its part to serve those who have served in our armed forces. In October, I relaunched the two podcast conversations that I had with Dan in 2018. After re-listening to them in October, I was re-inspired about life and leadership. We talked about Dan's background and explored what takes precedent, your entity or its mission, and creating space for post-traumatic growth. Those conversations helped me as I ventured into my new unexpected role as podcast editor. My audio technician, as you probably know if you're a longtime listener, mon frère de notre mère, Mike Bear, brother from another mother, he needed to move on abruptly. So I needed to respond quickly and learn to record and edit interviews. I had a good run with him, he and I, for 6 years, and we produced over 300 episodes that I'm really proud of. You know, what I'm experiencing is not what all of you aren't experiencing. I mean, in entrepreneurship, we're learning new things under pressure all the time. The intensity of our emotions is ever present because we need to learn new things fast and keep cash flowing. In learning this new editing role, I became kind of frustrated as I got all the equipment for podcast interviews in person, got the software for doing it online, programs like Zoom, got some new mics for in person. In order for everything to work together, I needed the right auxiliary cords, plugins, and adapters, and you're kind of getting the gist of the learning curve here. When I was listening to Dan in my podcast conversation, he was talking about to what all leaders, you know, on a Monday that were problem solving all day long. And Dan mentioned what he learned from a construction worker who told him his philosophy about trying to solve problems quickly. And his quote was, "Slow is smooth, smooth is fast." So Dan mentioned with the tools of self-mastery that we learn through yoga, meditation, and breathing practices that we don't need to absorb the stresses of the thing that causing us anxiety. We are able to stay in the present moment. And that's what I was experiencing in a full day of things not working and my test with my sister to do podcast episode practice, you know, wasn't working. And I just noticed how much we need support, like having her as my support. And then Matthew was looking up stuff and we were running to Micro Center to get more cords and everything. It's striving to connect with people and getting our equipment to talk to each other are kind of like a metaphor for life. You know, it takes many attempts to communicate with the human and get into the emotional flow of connecting with another person. It doesn't matter how many times we've failed at anything. The point is we have to stay focused on the goal and allow ourselves to experience the intensity of stress and frustration without letting the emotion overpower the experience. I didn't throw anything or break anything or harm anyone. I stayed in problem-solving mode working with my husband, Matthew. This kept our minds focused on finding the best connection route. At the end of the evening, I was a bit frazzled and had one snarky comment, but that's what Matthew and I do. We allow each other to have our vulnerable moments, and then we kind of assess and vent later, you know, what our experience was with working with each other, and then we forgive each other and kind of move on. I eventually met my goal, which we all do. I just felt like Dan, who I would like to invite into the conversation, I just felt like little subtle things in our mindfulness practices really make the game changer when we're under a lot of stress and pressure. So what are your thoughts or feedback about what I just said? And welcome to We Mentor Mondays with Nancy.
Nancy, thank you for being here. I think you essentially said it. You know, it's easy to stay on top of your game. It's easy to be focused when things are going smoothly, when life is not throwing, its's multiple ordinary or extraordinary challenges at you. But when they do, right, when there's more pressure on us, it's a little bit more difficult to stay mindful and stay focused on our goals. And I think that the subtle practice of mindfulness, as almost as simple as it is and almost unsatisfyingly so, you know, we want something more complicated, but it's actually, you know, it's pretty simple, right? It's difficult to do and to maintain and to make a habit. But the, you know, simple fact of the matter is that when we are slowing down, when we're paying attention, when we're not letting that pressure get to us, we make better decisions, no matter what you're talking about.
Yeah. And we treat better people better.
And we treat people better. Yes.
You know, when we're mindful of like I was mindful of my frustration, like it's easy when you start, like when things aren't going quite right, you know, then you're like, okay, well, let me try this. Well, let me try that. Well, let me try this. And then, you know, it's like several videos. And then, you know, so further along as I was, you know, I found my agitation level kind of increasing as all the things we were trying weren't working. And that was when I was really mindful of the degree of frustration that I had and like, well, I can either like elevate my frustration to the next level, or I can release that and just say, okay, eventually I'm going to figure this out. It's just a matter of time. And if I let go of, you know, all the parameters around it and just focus on solving the problem, whatever it takes, then it seems like I'm in a better mood. The person I'm working with feels better. You know, when you're working with someone, they have different frustration levels too. They're experiencing in the process too. And so in leadership, we're always working with people and they're always witnessing kind of the whole range of emotions that we're going through. And then they have their own experiences with it. So anyways, I just thought you'd be a great person to talk with about this.
Well, it's to me, partly what you're talking about is this idea of frustration tolerance, right? And in psychology and certain psychotherapies, the idea of strengthening your ability to tolerate frustration is an important part of the therapy. And, you know, knowing myself, right, as I've gotten older and as I practice and as I learn more about myself, I start to learn where my frustration tolerance gets tested, right? For me, if I don't eat or if I'm late for lunch or I haven't thought about it, like I won't even realize it. And then I'm just getting a little bit more grumpy and I can't tolerate things as much as I would on a full stomach. And so I'm shorter with the people I'm working with, or I'm not treating them as well as I would like to because, you know, my cup is already sort of over full, as you might say. And it's interesting because I also have a 10-year-old daughter and watching her, right, learn frustration tolerance, right? Because it's hard, right? Like, you know, she'll be practicing her piano or doing it and you can see that frustration and it's helping me reflect on that and hopefully learn additional frustration tolerance for myself because I'm also trying to model that or at least hold the space for her.
Oh, yeah.
Right, where like I can validate her frustration and say, yeah, you know, like you can see why, yeah, that's frustrating, right? But also offer her some, right? You can take a break. Let's take a few deep breaths or let's go do something else for a minute or maybe it's not offering any of that. It's just being there and letting her work through it and then she tries it again. So so this idea of frustration tolerance, right, is exactly what you're talking about. And then that's going to affect how you not only how well you do the next thing in front of you, but like you said, how you treat others, how you see others.
Yeah, right.
For those of us who want to treat others in a kind and respectful way and with compassion, it's difficult to do, especially when that person, like you just said, is having their own frustration tolerance issues, right? They're having their hard enough time. And so, you know, they're a little short with us and we take it personally, right? Because, and that's where I see a lot of challenges in really any relationships and in among teams, is especially when you have teams that, you know, even at Veterans Yoga Project, you know, it, right. it feels like, you know, we're actually more of a family, right? And,
right.
and, you know, you see each other's kids on the Zoom calls, and in any relationship, sometimes we can just take things too personally. And when we are able to see that, oh, hey, that person's just a little frustrated, they're just a little stressed out and they're, you know, have these deadlines or whatnot, all of a sudden we can treat them with a little more compassion and just sort of provide them the support that they need, right? Coming from a place of reflection and wisdom, hopefully, as opposed to reacting to the way they slighted us or the way they ignored us or something that's not going to achieve such a response that's so in line with your values.
Right. And then you both aren't like elevating the frustration level between both of you. You know, if we can take a step back, you know, and okay, how far are we going to go with this?
Yeah. It's hard. And that's what good teams do. I think good teams will do that, right? They can hold the space for that little bit of frustration and not hold on to it and not fall into the drama loop and stay focused on the mission.
Yeah, exactly. So I had called you in October to let you know that I was going to re-air our podcast conversations. And you let me know that at the end of this year, you're going through kind of a, you know, huge transition yourself. In our, so when we spoke in 2018, the thought of you not continuing as executive director was not on your radar screen at all. So tell us when you started kind of thinking about passing the executive directorship role baton to another person. And maybe that will have a step back into where you were at 2018. Since both of us re-listened to our conversations, we kind of understand what we talked about. And as a listener, you can easily listen into the other conversations because they're really good about building the foundation to what we're going to talk about next, which is your transition of passing the baton from one generation to the next. So I was thinking maybe we could talk about, you know, where we left off and the significance of what you went through in 2020.
Yeah, wow. Yeah, I did about 5 months ago now. I finally made the decision, and it had been something that I'd been thinking about probably even before 2018. I'm sure they were probably hadn't thought about it as much, or it wasn't quite as front and center. But on some level, I think I've, at least for some period of time, have thought about succession planning and, you know, where does this go? And maybe moving more into a founder role as opposed to someone who's actually, you know, running the whole operation. And it was probably 2 summers ago you know, knowing this, I had a conversation with my board president and with a person who's going to be our new incoming COO, Brianna Renner, who is a Marine veteran, has occupied pretty much every position in our organization, including most recently chief operating officer, and really runs the organization anyway. And so it was always my hope that she would be the one that I would pass the baton on to, recognizing that it actually is not my decision, that it's the board of directors hires the executive director. So it's really their decision, but, you know, we are a team, and I think everybody on the board was hoping Brianna would be the one as well. And so anyway, but we did our due diligence, and the board, you know, put out a, you know, national call for applications, and they had a whole bunch of applications, did interviews.
Oh, nice.
To really make sure that they found the right person for the job, much to my happiness. Brianna was chosen, and she will be taking over as of the first of next month. And at that time, I will step away from the organization, and I've told myself and them that I am not even going to answer an email or anything about Veterans Yoga Project. I'm going to take 3 months off and do a sort of personal retreat, really be able to separate myself from the organization and see where she takes it and see where the organization takes it. We have an amazing board of directors and staff, and confident as much as I'm, you know, this is my baby. This is, you know, I started this 12 years ago, and I've given so much of myself to this organization. So letting go is a very weird experience, but it's in the right hands, and it's in a good place. The work that we do is amazing and good, and it will continue to be amazing and good. And I assume it's going to run much more effectively. As I think we mentioned in that last conversation, right? I'm a clinical psychologist by trade. I had never intended to really run, you know, Veterans Yoga Project wasn't something that I intended to create. It was really just something that emerged step after step. So yes, all that to say, yes, I am, as of the first of the year, leaving Veterans Yoga Project.
Wow. Whew, that's a lot. Yeah. And there's, yeah, lots of different feelings being so immersed mm-hmm. into, you know, making this work and, you know, growing it on a national level. I mean, it wasn't something you were just going to do in your community. You had a real large vision with this. Are you happy with where you are leaving it? You mentioned you... it a little bit earlier. Are you feeling like you have so much more left undone?
I don't feel like I have.
Yeah.
I mean, I have a whole task list of things that I have to get done in the next few weeks, but I don't feel like I have anything left undone. I mean, yes, there's so much more to do, and there's so many opportunities, and it's been really hard for me in the past few weeks and months to say, no, I'm not going to do that. And no, I'm not. You're right. And so there's so much more that I love and I would love to continue to do with this organization. But on the same note, I kind of feel like, for me, in some way, mission accomplished.
Nice feeling.
12 years ago, yoga for veterans was weird. Right? It was kind of a weird thing. And now the VA is right hiring yoga teachers, and they're incentivizing facilities to get their veterans to practice yoga and engage in other integrative medicine modalities. The organization is set up to continue to train yoga teachers and mental health clinicians. It is set up to continue to provide, you know, compassion fatigue training. It is set up to continue to train yoga veterans to become yoga teachers. And it's set up to continue to bring yoga directly to veterans, you know, in person and online. And so I feel really good about where this organization is. It took 12 years, and there were a lot of bumps, and I made a lot of mistakes. And, you know, there's plenty of things I could have, you know, in hindsight, done better. But seeing where we are as an organization and the work that we do, it's at where it needs to be. And I've taken it as far as I need to take it. And now I'm putting it in the hands of the veterans, right? It's, you know, I'm not even a vet. So, you know, in some way, I also feel like putting it back in the hands of a veteran seems also like the right thing to do.
Oh, yeah. It's kind of like gone full circle almost, like.
Yeah. Yoga for veterans isn't a weird thing anymore. And there's still plenty of work to be done. And the programs we have are amazing. And we're bringing more yoga to veterans. But for me personally, on some level, right,
honestly,
I'm going
to start talking about something else.
Right. Yeah, you know, I'm up for something, to some new doors to open, and just to challenge myself differently, and I will always be a supporter of Veterans Yoga Project. I'm sure on some level I'll be involved with Veterans Yoga Project, but I'm looking forward to seeing what other doors open.
Excellent. Well, that's a good place to finish out on. You know, all of us as business owners, in order to do our jobs well, you have to get something up and running. You have to be really immersed in your vision in order to, you know, have it take off. And so I was wondering if we could have a second conversation about what takes precedence as a leader, your mental health or your mission, or what is the price and rewards of kind of a leadership or entrepreneurial immersion. Would you be up for it?
Oh, absolutely.
Okay, great. Well, thanks for being here. And I just really appreciate you. I appreciate the journey you're on. I'm glad that, you know, you're sharing it with us. I just think these are the kind of the backstories.
So I thank you for that.
I'm thanking myself for learning what I've needed to learn in order to produce the show and keep it going. And also thank you, listener. I just really appreciate all of our listeners and you in particular for tuning in today to listen to our conversation. So thank you for that, and we'll see you next week.